I have just one notice to make this morning. Next weekend is Easter. Therefore, we will not have a service on Thursday evening, but there will be a service on Good Friday morning at 10 o'clock. Let us commence our service by reading together hymn number 264. Hymn number 264. Far from my thoughts, vain world, be gone. Let my religious hours alone. Fain would my eyes my Saviour see. I wait a visit, Lord, from Thee. My heart grows warm with holy fire and kindles with a pure desire. Come, my dear Jesus, from above and feed my soul with heavenly love. The trees of life immortal stand in fragrant rows at thy right hand, and in sweet murmurs by thy side rivers of bliss perpetual glide. Haste then, but with a smiling face, and spread the table of thy grace. Bring down a taste of truth divine, and cheer my heart with sacred wine. Blessed Jesus, what delicious fare! How sweet thy entertainments are! Never did angels taste above redeeming grace and dying love. Hail, great Emmanuel, all divine, in thee thy Father's glories shine. Thou brightest, sweetest, fairest one, thy eyes have seen, or angels known. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, and chapter 3, the third chapter of the Epistle to the Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked in some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. May the Lord bless that portion of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God of heaven, we do desire reverently to bow before thy great majesty. Thy word instructs us that the Lord is to be had in reverence of all those that are about him. And we pray that thou wouldst grant us that due reverence and godly fear as we seek to worship thee this day. We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit may rest and abide upon us as we worship thee this day. Thou knowest, O Lord, the circumstances under which we meet together in these strange and unusual days. And that we pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst bless the means to the salvation of thy people, to the calling of poor sinners out of nature's darkness into the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that thou in thy great mercy wouldst bless these means. We thank thee for the means, that though we cannot physically meet together, and yet, Lord, we can meet together in this way, and we would render thanksgiving unto thee for thy mercies in this matter, and pray that these means may be richly blessed of thee. And that we pray, Lord, that thou in thy great mercy would bless each and every one that listens into the services this day, as this is broadcast, O Lord, throughout the whole world. And we pray that thou wouldst use it to the honour, glory and praise of thy great name throughout the whole world, for thy great name's sake. Remember us as a church and as a congregation. We come before thee, O Lord, as the poor, fallen, sinful sons and daughters of Adam, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We have nothing to be proud of. We have much to be ashamed of. And we often have to say with the dear apostle, O wretched man, that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. For Lord, we find the truth of the words of the prophet of old so applicable to our own case. From the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, there is no soundness in my flesh. And Lord, we continually prove that. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. May we know the sealing of the Spirit this day. May we know that convicting and convincing work of the Holy Ghost in our hearts this day. May it please thee, Lord, to graciously lead us unto Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of sinners. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Gracious God, Lord, that is our condition by nature. But Lord, some of us can say, and very sweetly feel, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. We were alienated from thee by wicked works, but now, and Lord, we can say that, but now, through thy infinite grace, through thy almighty love, thou hast separated us from this world by thy Spirit and grace, and thou hast brought us in faith unto Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of sinners. And thou hast brought us to love him. And he has become our beloved. And we do, most gracious Lord, thank thee for the glory of his name, and for the wonder of his grace, and for the fullness of his salvation. We pray that thou in thy great mercy wouldst bless us then as a church, and as a congregation. Remember our beloved brethren, the deacons, and knowest all their responsibilities, both among us and among the churches of God, in the many things that they are responsible for. Gird them with all sufficient grace. Keep us together, Lord, and may this be the means used of thee to keep us together, as we're unable to meet together, in the spirit of love, union and communion. Just as we read in thy word, your hearts being knit together in love. And Lord, that is our desire this day, that though we cannot physically meet together, and yet our hearts may be knit together in love. Oh, do hear us, Lord. Thou hast said in thy word, by this shall they know that ye are my disciples, because ye have love one to another. And Lord, thou hast given us a sweet measure of that love, union and communion, and we would thank thee for that. And we would gather our little flock together, wherever they may be this day, and we would commit and commend them unto thee, and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and to grant them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst richly bless the whole of our congregation, and that thou wouldst work mightily and powerfully and effectually in our midst. We long to see thy work and thy power and thy glory as thou usest to be in the sanctuary. We pray that thou wouldst make bare thine holy arm in the gospel, and that thou wouldst pull down the strongholds of Satan, and set up the kingdom of the Lord Jesus in the hearts of sinners, as thou alone canst do. Lord, it is thy sovereign prerogative alone to gather souls unto Christ. And we pray that thou wouldst let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children, thy glory in the gospel, We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ may be exalted as a Prince and as a Saviour, for to give faith and repentance and remission of sins. We pray for our little flock, O Lord, the little ones, the little babes and the children. We thank thee for them. We have a good number. And it is with gratitude that we bow before thee and thank thee for the flock, for thee, dear children. Pray that in their young and tender years, that thou wouldst put thy holy fear in their hearts as an unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to all that's wrong. We pray thy blessing to rest upon those, Lord, in their teenage years and growing into manhood and womanhood, standing, as it were, upon the threshold of life's journey. Oh, that thou wouldst call them by thy grace, that thou wouldst bring them to living faith in Jesus Christ, that thou wouldst make them true followers of thee and of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Thou hast promised in thy word that thou wouldst abundantly bless the provision of thy house, and we pray that that may be so among us, and that thou hast promised instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. O Lord, do bless them then, and be with them, help them and guide them in their education. Guide and direct them concerning future employment, and graciously grant them a partner in life's journey, one that fears thy great and holy name. Hear us, Lord, we do humbly beseech thee for thy great name's sake. We also remember, O Lord, the prodigals. There are those that have wandered away. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst cause them to return and grant that great rejoicing among us as a church and as a congregation to see the prodigals returning, to see the wonderful power of thy grace in this. And we pray that thou wouldst constrain those that love thee to follow thee in the way of thy holy ordinances. Do hear us, Lord, we humbly beseech thee, for thy great name's sake. There are those among us, O Lord, that fear thy great and holy name, and yet they have not followed thee in the way of thy holy commandments. And we would lovingly commend them to thee and pray that thou would constrain them, that it may be with them as we read in thy word, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, that it might be so. We do humbly beseech thee. That we pray, Lord, in those prodigals that have wandered away, just like Ruth and Naomi in the land of Moab, and they heard that the Lord had visited his people, he'd given them bread. May that be so, Lord, among us. That we may see them return, that we may see thy wonderful power and grace in the gospel. We pray, dear Lord, thy blessing upon each and every one in the midst of the journey of life. Be with us, Lord. Help us, support us, sustain us. Deliver us from the temptations of the enemy. Deliver us from the power and dominion of sin. Lord, we have a great foe, even Satan, who often afflicts our souls. Lord, we pray that whether he comes as a roaring lion to devour us, or whether he comes as an angel of light to deceive us, we pray that thou would deliver us from the power that thou hast promised in thy word, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And Lord, we need thee to continually do that for us, and to keep and preserve us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Lord, we pray that thou in thy great mercy would graciously bless and undertake for those in the evening time of life journey, and ask that thou wouldst put the arms of thine everlasting love around them and surround them with thy mercy. And at the appointed time, grant an abundant entrance into thy heavenly kingdom. Send out thy light and thy truth into this village of Lamberhurst, into the surrounding villages and hamlets, that we may see, Lord, thy work and thy power in this. Other sheep have I, them I must bring. Lord Jesus, oh, that thou wast gathering from this village and the surrounding villages, that this our little house of prayer may yet be filled with hungry, longing souls pressing into the kingdom of heaven. For thy great name's sake, we do humbly beseech thee. We pray thy blessing, dearest Lord, upon all thy servants, upon the little hills of Zion up and down the land, that thou wast anoint them with thy spirit, and that there are a good number, Lord, that are speaking as we are, and we pray that these things may be used of thee, and that thou wast grant them special liberty and light and understanding in thy word, and signs to follow the preaching of the word, that there might be a reviving, a renewing, a replenishing in Zion among the churches of God, that we may see thy power and thy glory as thou usest to be in the sanctuary. Lord, it has pleased thee over these past months and years to send forth several younger men into the ministry of the word, and we would thank thee for that. Gird them with all sufficient grace, and we pray that thou, the great Lord of the harvest, would send true labourers into the harvest, that thou wouldst build the walls of Jerusalem, that thou wouldst establish thy people in their most holy faith. We pray for any, Lord, that are in any special trouble, trial, or perplexity at this time. Oh, that thou wouldst be with them and help them, support and sustain them. And then, Lord, there is this great plague that is sweeping through the nations of the earth and is in our own nation now. And, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst grant relief, grant wisdom unto the physicians, grant deliverance. Thy solemn judgments, O Lord, are in the land, and that thy hand is lifted high in judgment. The wickedness of man is great. The wickedness of our nation is great. Thy word is trampled underfoot as a thing of naught. Thy name is continually blasphemed. Thousands and thousands of innocent babes are murdered legally in our nation. Wickedness and immorality and unrighteousness abound on every hand. Are we not ripe for judgment, O Lord? And is not the churches, for judgment must begin at the house of God. And we would humble ourselves before thee in confession of our sins and our shortcomings, and beseech thee in wrath to remember mercy. Oh, breathe from on high, O Lord, we beseech thee. Pour out thy spirit upon the churches and upon thy servants, and give wisdom and guidance and direction unto those that lead us. We are exhorted to pray for all in authority over us, and we would do so, Lord, and we would commend them to thee. Pray that they may be given wisdom and guidance and direction, and that they may be brought to look to thee and to pray to thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless our beloved queen and consort and the royal household. Bless them with that rich grace that is in Christ Jesus. Bless them with light and understanding in their hearts. Oh, do hear us, Lord, for thy great name's sake. Remember, O Lord, those that are suffering at this time, and grant relief. And remember, O Lord, the many that have lost their loved ones, and grant comfort. Remember thy church throughout the nations of the earth, wherever thy people gather, wherever thy servants stand to preach. Lord, grant thy blessing. Remember those in remote areas preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember thy people, Lord, in those dark places of the earth where the name of Christ is hated, and where thy people are persecuted, imprisoned. Lord, send them help from the sanctuary. Strengthen them out of Zion. We do humbly beseech thee. O Lord, we do thank thee that thy mercies to us are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. We do thank thee that thou art a God that hears and answers prayer, and the wonderful provision thou hast made for thy people, the throne of grace, where Jesus sits and waits to answer prayer. We have a great high priest. Oh, we do thank thee for that great high priest. 'Tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Lord, we thank thee for the incarnation of the Son of God. We thank thee for the holy life he lived as a man, the man Christ Jesus, pure and spotless and undefiled in thought, word and deed. Oh, we do bless thee that in him everlasting righteousness has been brought in. Thy people are clothed in that glorious robe, covering their nakedness. We thank thee for the sacred, sinless, holy sacrifice of Calvary, where sin has been put away, where divine justice has been satisfied, where God and sinners are reconciled. Peace by his cross has Jesus made, the church's ever-living head. Lord, we do thank thee that he died for our sins and rose again for our justification, and has now ascended bodily into heaven and sitteth at thy right hand. And all power is given unto thee in heaven and in earth. We thank thee that through him we know and experience the love of our heavenly Father. And through him we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that it may be this day, for God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Forgive all that we ask amiss. Be with us as we turn to thy holy word. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us continue our worship by reading together hymn number 952. Hymn number 952. Beloved Saviour, faithful friend, the joy of all thy blood-bought train, in mercy to our aid descend, or else we worship thee in vain. In vain we meet to sing and pray, if Christ his influence withhold. Our hearts remain as cold as clay, till we the Lord by faith behold. Here manifest thyself in peace, thy tender mercies here make known. O breathe on us a gale of grace, and send the cheering blessing down. We humbly for thy coming wait, seeking to know thee as thou art. We bow as sinners at thy feet, and bid thee welcome to our heart. Unite our hearts to thee, dear Lamb. Vouchsafe to join us all in one, to love and praise thy gracious name, until we meet around thy throne. Greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the chapter that we read, Paul's epistle to the Colossians, and chapter 3 and verse 24. The epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3, and we will read the last clause of verse 24. for ye serve the Lord Christ. For ye serve the Lord Christ. What a great mercy if we can come in with this word. For ye serve the Lord Christ. It's a beautiful way that the apostle was led of the Spirit to speak of our Lord Jesus Christ in this way. The Lord Christ. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. And that's who Christ is. Just before he ascended into glory, it is recorded in Matthew 28. He said to his disciples, and he says it to us today, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Not some power, but all power. It hath pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Of course, that is spoken in the second chapter of this epistle to the Colossians. And verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And this, my beloved friends, is a very fundamental doctrine of our most holy faith. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the other fundamental truth that is set before us in the Word of God. And we are given admonitions and warnings concerning errors regarding the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that we are warned that if a man denies that he is the Son of God, that that is a fundamental heresy. And we're also given warnings that if a person denies the true sacred humanity that the Son of God assumed in the womb of the Virgin Mary, that he is in gross and awful heresy. Because these are very fundamental doctrines of our most holy faith. In my mind, it goes in particular to the fourth chapter of the first epistle of John. And these errors were beginning to creep into the churches. So in that fourth chapter, John, he writes in his very loving, very kind, but very firm way, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world, false preachers of the gospel, who deny the fundamental truths of our most holy faith. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And it says here, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Then he goes on, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Hence he says, try the spirits. Do they adhere to this fundamental doctrine of our most holy faith? You see, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. And how much more so in the day in which we live. This spirit of Antichrist is in the world. this spirit that denies the true humanity of the Son of God, that he became a real man, that he became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Again, in this same fourth chapter of the first epistle of John, and we read in verse 15, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." You see, my beloved friends, it's laid down in God's holy word, these fundamental truths of our most holy faith. I would just make this point, friends, that a man can be in error and be a child of God, but a man cannot be in heresy and be a child of God. The word of God is abundantly clear that he that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, for he is subverted. Now, you might say to me, what then is the difference between a heresy and an error? Well, an error is in something less and not so fundamental. But a heresy is something regarding the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, such as there are those that deny that Jesus is the Son of God. They deny the doctrine of the Trinity. They deny the true humanity that the Son of God assumed. These are heresies. These are fundamental heresies regarding the Godhead. And it's absolutely fundamental, and that is why John speaks in that way. Now, in this epistle, the Apostle Paul, in the first chapter in particular, he speaks of the sacred glory of the Godhead of our Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks also in this epistle of the sacred doctrine of the Trinity. These things are written for our instruction. And that we read in the first chapter and verse 12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us." What a wonderful mercy if we know and feel that, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You know, there's that word in first verse of Ephesians chapter 2, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." That was our state and our condition. We were in darkness. We were in bondage. That's where the Lord found us. But he delivered us. He sent his spirit into our hearts. He quickened our soul into life. What happens when the Holy Ghost gives life? We begin to feel. We have spiritual feelings. We have spiritual needs, spiritual desires. There is a measure of light that is given by the Holy Ghost to show us that we're sinners, to show us that we're undone, ruined in the fall of Adam, and also to show us that Jesus is the way to God. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that is the divine work of the Holy Ghost in the heart, when he quickens a poor sinner into life, when they are born again of the Spirit. And you know, friends, there is no heaven and no eternal glory if we're never born of the Holy Ghost and brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You see, my beloved friends, these are fundamental doctrines. of our most holy faith. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must. It wasn't something that is optional. It was something that was absolutely essential. You must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot. Oh, that that might sink deep into each one of our hearts. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is what the apostle is alluding to here when he says in verse 13 of the first chapter, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. That's where we all were, under the power of darkness. That is the power of Satan. The word of God is abundantly clear. There are only two sorts of people in this world. There is only two kingdoms in this world. And that is the kingdom of Satan, who's called the prince of the power of the air, and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fundamentally, friends, according to the word of God, there are only these two types of people in the earth. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And you see, we have in our text, but ye serve the Lord Christ. It was only he that could deliver you. The Lord Christ, the eternal Son of the eternal Father, who was manifest in the flesh, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. If you have a marginal reference in your Bible, there is an alternative for translated, and that is transferred, whichever, but that is the essential meaning of what is being said, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Peace by his cross, as Jesus made the church's ever living head. And when the Holy Spirit brings a poor sinner, a poor guilty sinner, before a holy God and reveals Christ unto them, translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There's only one that can forgive sins, that is God. And he forgives the sins of his people. The sweet psalmist of Israel, he was led of the Spirit in Psalm 130. And he says, he cries unto the Lord, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. But then he goes on and he says, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And my beloved friends, that is so. It is so today. But there is forgiveness with thee. Where in his dear Son, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, even the forgiveness of sins. Then he goes on here in this first chapter, and I felt so much drawn to this beautiful passage in the light of our text, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And here he speaks of the Lord Christ, who is the Lord from heaven. He's the eternal Son of the Father that was manifest in the flesh, that was lived here upon earth. You know, my mind, it goes to the book of the Proverbs. And in the book of the Proverbs, as my congregation will know, it's a chapter in the 8th chapter of the Proverbs, a chapter that has been very, very sweet and precious to me. In my early spiritual days, when sorely tempted that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God, and brought me into such darkness and bondage, that temptation did. And I was up one night, when I was single, I sat up reading the Word of God, and in the early hours of the morning, I was reading in Proverbs chapter 8. And as I read from verse 22, it was as if the scales fell off my eyes. I had such a revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what the Holy Ghost opened to me was that this is Christ that is speaking here in Proverbs 8. It's the glorious person of the Redeemer. It's the Lord Christ. And so we read in verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. And this is the word that delivered me from that temptation. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. And it goes right the way through. We won't go through all. And it speaks of the creation of the world and how that before all these things were created, he was with his Father. And he says, my delights were with the sons of men. His delights. It says in verse 31 of Proverbs 8, rejoicing. Look at verse 30. And Christ is speaking of his Father. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. My delights. He was thinking upon that eternal covenant that was made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he was meditating on those things of what he would do. He would come to this earth. He would be made of a woman made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. He was going to fulfill the law on behalf of his people. That law that you and I have broken. Oh, my beloved friends, we sin because we're sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. It's because we're born in sin. That's our state and our condition by nature. But he has delivered us. How? He lived a pure, a holy life under that righteous law as a man, and he fulfilled it. Oh, those lovely words of Christ, how they stand out so beautifully in Matthew chapter 5. I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Christ has fulfilled and honoured and magnified that righteous, holy law that you and I have broken. He's fulfilled it. He's magnified it. It says Isaiah chapter 45, I believe it is. Isaiah chapter 42. He will magnify the law and make it honourable. That is what Christ has done when he lived here as a man upon earth. You know, all the dignity and worth of that holy life of Christ, of that holy sacrifice of Christ, of the death of Christ, of the resurrection of Christ, all the dignity and worth of what he did for his people is in this. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord Christ. Ye serve the Lord Christ. The King eternally, immortal and invisible, the only true God. That's who we serve. Oh, that the Lord would grant that these things may be made living and powerful and effectual in our hearts. It says here in Colossians 1 verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. That's what Christ is. The image of the invisible God. The firstborn of every creature. You know, whenever I read that here in the Colossians, the firstborn of every creature, there is a beautiful prophecy found in Psalm 89 when David, as he so often does, he speaks of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, speaks of his glorious person, and he says there, in verse 19, then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. Now, this is not the literal David. This is David's greater son, our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. It's that beautiful word of Christ speaking unto John in the last chapter of Holy Scripture. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Now you look at that word. I am the root and the offspring. And you say, well, how can he be the root and the offspring? Well, he's the eternal Son of God. And it's in him David found all his strength and all his wisdom and all his hope and all his mercy was in Christ, in the eternal Son of God. Hence, he was his root. He drew all his sustenance, all his grace. It came from Christ. But then he's his offspring as well. He's David's greater son. He was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh. And that really opens that word to us. I am the root and offspring of David. It shows to us the divine and the human nature that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those two natures in one glorious person. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Jesus is mighty to save. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant with my holy oil. Have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his place, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Then you go on and look at verse 27. Also, I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore. My covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. That's Christ. That's the Lord Christ. You see, my beloved friends, the wonderful glory of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Have you been raised up to a hope in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ? It's one thing to hear these things spoken. It's one thing to read them in the Word of God. But it's another thing to receive them into your heart, sealed there by the Spirit of God. Now, you see, he goes on to speak in Colossians chapter 1 of the glory of his Godhead. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. The apostle says in the Romans, the powers that be are ordained of God. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. You see, this gave such a meaning to our text. For ye serve the Lord Christ. And this is who the Lord Christ is. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. There are a good number of times in Holy Scripture when Christ is called the beginning. But you know, it's a far deeper word than on the surface it appears to be. It's speaking of his eternity. He's the beginning. He's before all things. By him all things consist, the beginning. We read it in Proverbs chapter 8. I was set up from the beginning, from everlasting. We read it in the book of Genesis and the first clause of Holy Scripture, in the beginning God. It's not just speaking of a beginning, because God has no beginning. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And so there's a deeper meaning. There has never been a time when there hasn't been a God, and there is no God beside him. by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. It is Christ that rose again from the dead. He suffered, he bled, he died for our sins, but he rose again. And he says, because I live, ye shall live also. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And because he lives, all those that were given to him by the Father shall live. And they shall live eternally. And they shall be raised up at the last day. And they shall enter into eternal glory to be forever with the Lord. Why? Because Jesus rose again for our justification. There's a great deed there, you know, friends. He rose again. He died for our sins. But he rose again for our justification. That's a legal term. If a person is brought before a court of law and tried in a court of law, and after the trial, and then if that person is acquitted of the charges that were brought against them, they are then justified before the law. Innocent, that's what it means, before the law. Now, the church is justified in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But you know, when Christ rose from the dead, and as it says in Holy Scripture, he rose again for our justification. When he was crucified, he was crucified for our sins, and the Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all, and he was crucified for our sins. He took our sins and he nailed them to the cross. And he suffered and he bled and he died for our sins. But then the evidence that that payment has been made good in heaven, you know, we need to be careful speaking hypothetically. But if one sin of the church had not been redeemed for, the payment had not been made good for that sin, Christ would never have risen from the dead. He would have laid in eternal damnation forever for that one sin. But blessed be God, he rose again. And there is the evidence that the sin of the church has been paid for. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed thy sins from thee, O Israel. He rose again for our justification, to declare us innocent, because he has paid the price, the redemption price. Christ has. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For ye serve the Lord Christ. See, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. There's that lovely word in Timothy. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That glorious holy God-man offered a sacrifice and redeemed his church, and that they are, he died for their sins and he rose again for our justification, and they are now free. If the Son shall make you free, they are free from all law charges. They are freed in Christ. He has brought their liberty. He has given them life. You see, and he says here, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Isn't that amazing grace? Amazing grace. Presents a poor, wretched, black, hell-deserving sinner, he presents them holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. You know, what wonderful, precious truth that is. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Now, there's a beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians and chapter 6. And reading from verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Reading from verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. You know, that's what you were. It's not what you are now. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, we have here in the third chapter of the Colossians, and if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's where he continually directs our mind, to this glorious high priest, to this advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. That's where the Lord Christ is. He sits on no precarious throne, nor borrows leave to be. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. How we need these exhortations, and how we need to take heed. How soon we get carried away with the things of this world and the things of this life. He says, for ye are dead. That means dead to the world. And your life is hid with Christ in God. It's in the Lord Christ, he who is our life. He says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What a glorious prospect. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And he will bring you again unto himself, into glory, that where I am, there ye may be also. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. What does the word mortify mean? To kill. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And all earthly carnal things, we are to mortify, we are to kill. It's a very painful work, very separating work in the heart by the Holy Ghost. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. We can be taken up with any of those things. You may be kept from all of them, but one of them may have dominion over you. Covetousness, which is idolatry. We live in a covetous world, in a covetous society. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now, you see, as we've read in Corinthians, and such were, that's the operative word there, such were some of you, but you're not anymore. Now, we have these exhortations here, but now ye also put off It is like he's speaking here by illustration of a garment, and he speaks of putting off and putting on. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now he says here in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's in the Lord Christ. It's renewed in the knowledge of him. And he says there's nothing that separates in the Christian church in Christ. He says whether it's a Greek, Jew, barbarian, Scythian, bond, free, but Christ is all in all. All the walls of partition are broken down. Put on, therefore, again, this word, we've looked at what it is to put off and what we have to put off. And then he says, put on the new man. And then here he says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. How we need to forbear one another. Love covereth a multitude of sins. There may be what a brother or sister in Christ, what they do, and it really irritates you. And it stirs up your spirit. But you know, we're to be forbearing one to another. There may be many things that you do, or I do, that really irritate somebody else. But if you really love someone, we'll be forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Ye serve the Lord Christ. The Lord from heaven. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who we profess to serve, and that's who we profess to follow, our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. It is. You know, the Lord Jesus, he says in after that, in the 6th of Matthew, we have the record of the Lord's Prayer, as it's usually called, and he says in the close of that, verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You see, my beloved friends, the spirit of forgiveness, the spirit of love, flows into a believer's heart from Christ. The apostle says, know ye not that we have the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ. And Paul is very emphatic in Romans chapter 8. And he said, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And by that he means the Holy Ghost. He's none of his. How we need that inward work of the spirit of God in our hearts. And it will bring forth fruit. And above all these things, put on charity. Now, many have said that it would have been better to say love. I actually have to disagree. Charity means love in action. And that is exactly the burden of the message of the dear apostle, the same as it is in the 13th of the Corinthians. And above all these things, put on charity, that is love in action. My brethren, let us not love in word only, but in deed and in truth. How we need that real true love, that rising up and walks in that right way. Let the word of Christ, for ye serve the Lord Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. See, he centres everything in Christ. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, that sacred spirit of the doctrine of the Trinity, it's found here in the second chapter of the Colossians. And we read in verses 2 and 3, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, as the Holy Ghost, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, he says here, he lays out so clearly to them concerning what it is to be in Christ. And he says in verse 6, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, the Greek people were a very learned people, and the Greek philosophers were renowned. But what is philosophy? It's human learning. It's human reason. Anything human, my beloved friends, is stained and dyed with sin. It is. And he warns them against philosophy, against human learning. Verse 8 of the second chapter, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You see, my beloved friends, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. That means perfect in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Christ is. For you serve the Lord Christ. He says here in verse 12 of the second chapter, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses and blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. You see, we need these admonitions and these warnings against philosophy and human learning. We need to be students of the Word of God, to meditate day and night in the Word of God, and thereby, by the inward power and teaching of the Spirit, we will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. For ye serve the Lord Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks that we have made. Let us now read together hymn number 854. Hymn number 854. Jesus, Lord of life and peace, to thee we lift our voice. Teach us at thy holiness to tremble and rejoice. Sweet and terrible's thy word. Thou and thy word are both the same. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we love thy holy name. Burning seraphs round thy throne, beyond all brightness bright, bow their bashful heads and own their own diminished light. Worthy thou to be adored, Lord God Almighty, great I am. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we love thy holy name. Saints in whom thy Spirit dwells, pour out their souls to thee. Each his tale in secret tells, and sighs to be set free. Christ admired, themselves abhorred, they cry with awe, delight and shame. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we love thy holy name. And then we have here, Lord, the solemn warning against just a letter or a head knowledge of the truth without that spiritual application of the Holy Ghost. Men whose hearts admit not fear, at thy perfections awed, use thy name but not revere the Holy Child of God. These thy kingdom own in word. Save us from loyalty so lame. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we love thy holy name. Just and righteous is our King, glorious in holiness. Though we tremble while we sing, we would not wish it less. Souls by whom the truth's explored, wonders of mercy best proclaim. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we love thy holy name. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.